Welcome back to the Sherry and Sade podcast. I'm your host, Sherry and Sade. And if you are watching along on Patreon, hey, 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 hope y'all like the bun. I've got the bun back, so we all good. We got a lot to talk about. Today is part two of the Kate Middleton revelations that she has cancer. Yesterday, we talked about the internet fallout and, of course, the attempt at scapegoating the Squatties, Christopher Boozy, Omid Scobie, and, of course, Harry and Meghan themselves by the media, because we know their playbook and we know that's all they know how to do. And the internet was there to push back on that. And I'm glad. So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about something that I mentioned, but I did not really go deeply into. So we are going to talk about that. Before we get into that, guess where I've been for the last 3 hours? No, guess. Can't guess? I have been recording a podcast with my mic off. It took me an hour and a half to record the podcast, and then it took me a little while to download it. So I went and had some lunch, came back ready to upload, and then I listened to the test, and I was like, where's the podcast? Tried to recover it, and no, mama's mic was just off. So we're going to do this again the right way. But that's okay. Listen, if I get to talk to y'all twice today, once for y'all, twice for me, that's okay. We're just going to go with the flow, roll with the punches. But I thought that was funny and I did not want to omit that. And I wanted to certainly share it with you. Your girl be messing up sometimes. That's okay. We all make mistakes. So anyway, let's get into the podcast. Once again, thank you so much for clicking on my video if you are on Patreon, and thank you if you are on my podcast and listening here. I really, really appreciate you. We have a lot to talk about. So yesterday we talked about Kate Middleton revealing that she has cancer. That is very sad. We talked about why the internet did not immediately respond with the most sympathy. We did talk about that, but we also talked about the media trying to go on the immediate blame game offensive, the thing that they do all the time, and why that did not earn their faves any points, any likability points whatsoever. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to actually talk about something that we didn't deep dive into because I feel like we shouldn't have to. But since it's been brought into question, I want to clarify. Yes, Harry and Meghan did release a very genuine, very sweet, a very considerate public statement, but they also reached out privately. So I'm going to be sharing my screen for those of you who are on Patreon. We're going to be taking a look at this article from People Magazine, and it's titled, "Meghan Markle and Prince Harry Privately Reached Out to Kate Middleton and Prince William After Cancer Announcement." And it's written by Bailey Richards. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to squeeze on down here where it reveals that they did reach out privately. The fact that that's actually being called into question is a little insane for me. I can't believe that would be something that people not only would question, but if it didn't happen, can they really blame them? But anyway, it says the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Oh, excuse me. Let's move up a little bit. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are supporting Prince William and Kate Middleton both publicly and privately following Kate's cancer announcement. People understand that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have privately reached out to the Prince and Princess of Wales amid Kate's cancer diagnosis. Prince Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, also showed their support for Kate by speaking out in a statement shared with People on Friday. Quote, "We wish health and healing for Kate and the family and hope they are able to do so privately and in peace." Now, we talked about this on my podcast or on my Patreon. I posted a whole blog post about resources for those who are suffering from cancer, especially those in underserved communities. And I also talked about how sweet and genuine and nice and warm it was for Harry and Meghan to extend grace to this family after not having received it for themselves. And we talked about Meghan, you know, suffering from a miscarriage. We also talked about Harry, you know, digging the grave beneath their tree. We talked about how heartbreaking that was for both parents and how little the royal family had for them in response and how little support they provided. So for Harry and Meghan to be as generous as they are being, it is just a beautiful thing. And I hope more people take note. because they certainly don't have to be. They certainly don't have to be. And so I wanted to talk about that because people called this into question. Some people were like, oh, they're making it all about themselves. And I'm like, how are they making it about themselves if they're getting straight to the point, offering the sweetest of well wishes, and then getting out of the way? Y'all are making it about them. And when I say y'all, it's the people I'm talking about that are the detractors, the derangers, the arguers, the haters, them, that group of people. We're talking about that. Because at the end of the day, what's wrong with wishing your family well in public? Had they not wished them well in public, people would have said they didn't even consider Kate and William, even though if they had not, I would not have blamed them. So I wanted to clarify that Harry and Meghan did, in fact, wish them well or reach out to them in private as well as release a public statement far more than they had to. But what's interesting about that is when they reached out to them in private, reportedly, William wasn't warm. You heard that right. William, whose wife is suffering from cancer, the same William who didn't even bother appearing in the video alongside her as her support, despite her pleading for him to do so in the video, William did not respond in kind. Your partner, God forbid, has a potentially terminal illness. We don't know what form of cancer or what stage, but cancer is a serious issue. William, whose wife has cancer, is reached out to by his brother and sister-in-law, and he's not appreciative of that? Telling these stories doesn't send the message that the Sussexes are on the outs. It sends the message that William and Kate are assholes. That's really it. That's the message it sends. Now this is in The Independent, so take it with a grain of salt. But the article says, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle received a cool response from Prince William following their text message of support in the wake of Kate's cancer announcement. The message, which was engineered by the palace with the two brothers still estranged, reportedly had the tone of two wary diplomats. According to royal expert Tom Quinn, the Sussexes contacted the Prince and Princess of Wales following the diagnosis, but didn't include any suggestion that they should make up and let bygones be bygones. He added that it was hardly the kind of warm, informal response one may have expected. So, and then they go on to say, let's also cover this next part. The revelation comes after it emerged that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex were not told about Kate's cancer diagnosis in advance, as they are no longer trusted family. So let's address the first part. William did not respond warmly to his brother and sister-in-law reaching out to his ailing cancer-stricken wife, the same cancer-stricken wife he blamed his Photoshop fail on. Can we expect anything better from William at this point? I know I don't. But I think these stories are meant to signify that the royal family doesn't trust Harry and Meghan and that they're on the outs and that in some way this is Harry and Meghan's loss, when what's really being revealed is that William is an asshole and everything said about William is true. And all the stories about him being a bully and being a jerk and being spoiled and being unappreciative could not be more true than in this moment when his cancer-stricken wife is receiving well wishes and he's being an asshole about it. That doesn't paint him as this diplomat or this assertive leader or this strong force of leadership. It shows him, simply put, as a bald-headed, big-jawed asshole. And that's really it. He's not being a supportive husband by being a bully to the people who are trying to send well wishes. People who, in fact, were not treated so well by his bullying wife. They are certainly equally yoked. Cancer does not change the deeds that you have done. But what we can do is put that aside and say, hey, hope you're okay. And that's very big of Harry and Meghan. I don't want it to be lost on anyone that Harry and Meghan extended grace to both of them and gave them well wishes and they were treated like crap. Please don't lose that in the midst of everything else. Harry and Meghan were still being class acts and being loving people, and they were met with disrespect. And that in some way is being positioned as a show of moral failure on Harry and Meghan's side. I see why James O'Brien reads the UK media the way they do. I see why he reads the royal family the way he does, because none of you are operating with any common sense. How does it show your king, your future king, as a solid leader if he is still being a jerk to his little brother for sending well wishes to his cancer-stricken wife? In my opinion, wouldn't the focus in this moment where your wife has been diagnosed with something very serious and you have three kids and you just lost a friend of yours to some mysterious circumstances, wouldn't in this, and your father was just diagnosed with cancer, your aunt was just diagnosed with cancer, wouldn't it behoove you to be a leader, but also be gracious? Wouldn't it behoove you to try and unify and strengthen instead of separate and disrespect and mistreat and bully? Why is it that this ego is taking center stage in your wife's cancer? But that's what's happening. And that is not a moral failing on Harry and Meghan's side. That's actually showing how great they were. And it actually continues to validate that William was an ass. Now for the next part. They were intentional about putting this in here. The revelation comes after it emerged that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex were not told about Kate's cancer diagnosis in advance, as they are no longer trusted by the family. Listen, Kate has cancer. Why is that becoming a velvet rope situation, a VIP, if you will, when it comes to the royal family? These people are so egregious that they don't know how to separate the real from the nonsense. And when people are actually doubting whether or not that lady really does have cancer, it's shit like this that amplifies that. Because in what world does someone have cancer and the focus that you want us to put on this story is that they used it as a way to vet out their brother and sister-in-law for no reason at all, to continue to hammer down the fact that they are not good family members to their estranged brother and sister-in-law who had to flee the country because of their bullying? How is it that that is supposed to take center stage and everyone's supposed to see this as some endearing, loving story and supposed to send her shows of support? In my opinion, if anything, stories like this make people not want to support her, make people not want to support her husband. And that unfortunately falls on the children as well. They're being raised by two bullies. People want to send sympathetic tone or sympathetic messages and well wishes. But if we find out that you're out here still using your cancer as a way to mistreat your family, where does it end? Where does it end? Hold on. Let me turn my light up because I got my light on. Okay, there we go. Where does it end? At what point do you say, shit's getting real, let me get serious, let me stop playing these games? If you can't even put your pettiness aside for cancer, your people are in trouble when you take the throne. And according to several psychics, that's not going to happen for you, William. But the fact that you can't put your pettiness aside and let your wife's cancer take center stage or your father's cancer take center stage for just a second says a lot more. As a matter of fact, it says a lot less about you. I'm never going to think less of these people. And every day they prove me wrong. I have to keep digging that trench even deeper to think less of these people. Those people don't deserve Harry and Meghan. And I love when they prove to Harry and Meghan that the choices they made were right. Harry and Meghan already know it, but isn't it good to always have a moment of like, ooh, I'm glad I made that choice. Woo, what a relief. I know they do that every day. They have to talk to that ball-headed, shark-jawed asshole. But anyway, let me stop, because he gets on my nerves. To take cancer and turn it into this pettiness, it's disgusting. Y'all let me know what y'all thought about that. Y'all let me know, because that to me is insane. I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine. And not only that, but the media and their continued support of their continued targeting of Harry and Meghan and the goal of trying to vilify them and make them seem like bad people because somehow they're related to Kate having cancer is crazy. And I'm so glad James O'Brien called out how the media continues to amplify the hate train. I want to show Patreon, you can see it, a podcast, you can hear it. I'm going to show you guys a clip from James O'Brien's show of the LBC, Leading Britain's Conversation. I want to show you guys a clip of where he really hands it to them. And I appreciate that in him. I'm going to put that first. There we go.
It's a while since I've been on Fleet Street, but a lot of my mates are still there. I don't know that they would ever get to that point that I've just described. Because at that point, why don't they just stop it? Here's 8 pages about their latest project, which we hate. There's absolutely nothing requiring you to write about these two. All right? Literally nothing. So why do they? Answer, because they are selling more and more papers by making you hate them. To which the question then becomes, why do you let them do that? I don't hate them because of the newspapers. I don't even read a newspaper. Yeah, come on. What is your knowledge of their behavior based on? How do you know what goes on behind closed doors? Where is that information coming from? You've got a bug, have you? In their Californian sitting room. You've got a top snout, have you? A top source. Their chauffeur rings you up every Tuesday evening and gives you chapter and verse on what it is they've been up to lately. How do you know? Answer, because people who are paid to report on the royal family have put that information, whether it's true or not, into the public sphere. So you rely entirely upon the people who rely entirely upon the palace for their livelihoods. A royal correspondent who is not in favour is not going to be a royal correspondent for very long. Now, I personally don't mind that system in the sense that it is symbiotic. It serves the purposes of both institutions, and they are neither institutions that I have a problem with in principle, either the royal family. Well, actually, probably slightly more of a problem with the royal family because it bakes deference into our system. And although the royal family, most of them, are not problematic. It's a system that allows someone like Jacob Rees-Mogg to masquerade as superior to you, which is obviously absurd. But against the backdrop of a royal family, anybody who walks the walk and talks the talk, however confected it may be, can achieve deference. You have people think, oh, yes, he knows what he's talking about. He's got eight plums in his mouth. Although we're probably going to run out of plums at some point in a not too distant future, if the last hour was anything to go by. So, Why do they do it? Why do the newspapers that claim to hate them, and do hate them, and claim to want them to shut up and go away, like Gavin Williamson told the Russians to do after the poisonings in Salisbury? Why do the newspapers that answer it sells papers? What sells papers? Hate sells papers. Who does the hating? The people that read the stories, whether they're getting them from the papers or not. It's all the same trough in which your little noses are immersed. So what's the pleasure? Where's the fun from? Why is it so easy to encourage people to hate these two? Answer, they make you feel really stupid. Whether you realize it or not, I heard some of Nick's callers today, and the levels of anger are absolutely ridiculous. They make you feel really, really stupid. And rather than focus upon how stupid they make you feel, you're going to accept the invitation to get furious. And you know who really feels stupid about them? The newspapers. Because what they've done is simply refuse to dance to the newspaper's tune. Sorry, lads, not having it. Not going to give you pictures of my newborn baby. Not going to, and the newspapers then are not keeping their end of the deal. We're not going to just walk a tightrope of respect and privacy. We're going to treat you like subhuman scum, the way that we write about you, and especially your wife. Your foreign wife with a dark skin. Sorry, pal. You decide to stand up to Fleet Street, then you will suffer the wrath of all of us, especially the people that rely upon the palace for their livelihoods. So why do you hate them so much? Well, because they're selfish and manipulative. Sorry, where are you getting your information from? I'm getting it from the newspapers that they stood up to and refused to be cowed by. Oh, I see. So how many other points in your life have you taken your opinion from the victims of courage? How many times in your life have you let the bullies tell you what to think about the people that they were bullying who stood up to them? So here's a bully. Here's a victim of bullying. The victim stands up to the bully, and you've decided that the bully's version of events must be the one that's true. Not only is the bully's version of events the one that's true, I am now going to join the bullies in pursuing the people that have stood up to them. This isn't black and white. It's not footballification. Nobody's perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But my goodness me, it's a national embarrassment, isn't it? Let's just look at the papers. Daily Express, all out war. Now, Harry says, palace played dirty games. Ooh. What's the Sun got? Let's have a look at the Sun. Sussex lies and videotape. It's unhinged, this. Get the popcorn in, folks. Daily Star, once again, doing all right, actually. Daily Mirror, probably the only popular. The Mirror and the Star don't go too bonkers on this. Fact or fantasy? Harry and Meghan in new storm over Netflix show. Daily Mail, fury at Sussex's next Netflix claim of war on Meghan. And on it goes, and on, and on, and on, and on. So if you don't understand the point that I'm making, that's my fault. Let me make it absolutely crystal clear. It is palpably ridiculous for an organ to claim that it wants people to receive less attention while giving them more attention than they currently give to anybody else on the planet. Look at the Mail, right? Netflix versus Riyadh, page one, fury at Sussex's Netflix claim. Page two, the whole thing is one long whinge. There's even commentary from Sarah Vine claiming that they're gaslighting the entire nation. She used to be married to Michael Gove, of course, during coronavirus, so she probably knows a little bit about gaslighting. Page four and five, once again, Harry is attempting to cloak himself and Meghan with Diana's legacy. How dare he reference his mother? Who does he think he is? Talk. Pages seven and eight and nine, eight and nine, the surprising reality behind, I mean, that is eight pages, is it? How utterly crackers is it to say that these people are doing something that you disapprove of? But here's eight pages of coverage. So according to the Daily Mail, that is far and away the most important thing happening in this country at the moment. It's a television program on Thursday featuring two people that they claim don't deserve your attention or affection. Eight pages without mentioning the rail strike, without mentioning the food supply threats, without mentioning GPs, without mentioning the NHS. I mean, it's actually breathtaking. It might be seven pages. I seem to have torn one of them out.
So I wanted to share that because, one, he made some excellent points. But also the fact that I don't understand the cycle of behavior. Well, I understand the cycle of behavior. I don't understand what they think we see. It's like when the UK tabloids, they publish these stories, just like James O'Brien pointed out. They publish these stories claiming that Harry and Meghan only want attention. And then they dedicate eight pages of their publication to Harry and Meghan. And then the cycle continues, despite Harry and Meghan not doing anything that they weren't doing before. They claim they hate Harry and Meghan, but they cover them more than anyone else, because they know Harry and Meghan sell. But they also know that driving hate towards them incurred propelled their hate base over there to buy more papers, to relish in the hate and the bias. And so they're using them to sell and make money. And how do they think we don't see that? And I don't think they care what we see. It's the fact that the people who buy into it are too stupid to see. And that's the part that I find so funny, is like they're making money off your ignorance. They don't even believe the shit that they're saying. They don't even believe it, because if they did, they would not be covering Harry and Meghan to this extent. So I wanted to share that from James O'Brien from the LBC. Thank you so much, James O'Brien, for really sticking it to him. And the thing is, he could explain in front, back, side to side, up and down, and they would still be like, huh? We hate Harry and Meghan. And just like he said, they make you feel stupid. That's really why they're mad, because they feel stupid. They have no way. They don't validate their bias in any way. Harry and Meghan don't validate the racist or the misogynist bias. They make them feel stupid, but then they have to double down because they really don't have a reason to hate them. And the more good that Harry and Meghan do, the less those races have to be mad about. So they have to rely on the tabloids to spoon feed them something to hate about them. That's really what it is. And it's pathetic, but so are they. So I wanted to share that because with all this Kate situation going on, I'm seeing the hate for Harry and Meghan go up a notch yet again. And even before we proceed, even with Whoopi Goldberg talking out the side of her crusty mouth to attack Harry and Meghan all these years, here and there, she's the one who doubted the claims about the New York City car chase. But now she's condemning people for questioning Kate Middleton. I want to make something very clear. I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for me. when I say my questions about what was going on with Kate Middleton were derived directly from the media melee from Kensington Palace. That is why I had questions. That is why I doubted what they told me. That is why I thought they were lying. That is why I thought they were covering something up. That is why I thought they had done something to that lady. Because at the end of the day, cancer being the end result still doesn't answer the questions that we had. We didn't ask what's really wrong with Kate for any other reason other than the palace overplaying their hand. Let me tell you why. First of all, if Kate just simply had cancer, and there's no just cancer, but if Kate had cancer, why did they not just share that? And if they weren't going to share that, why didn't they just stick to she will recover and be back after Easter? Why wasn't that just what they shared? Why didn't they just stick with what they initially planned to do? It's because they were playing a game of media mayhem between the houses and it got out of hand and made them all look bad. That's my personal opinion. Because cancer doesn't explain why they had a body double at the farm shop with William. Cancer and making a video about the cancer doesn't explain why you made a fake picture to alter reality. Cancer doesn't explain why you had someone else pretend to be you in your car with your mother. Cancer doesn't explain the riding with William to the Commonwealth service with your face turned towards the wall and these weird behaviors. Cancer doesn't explain how any of this stuff is supposed to make sense to us. Had she said, you know, that was me wearing a mask at the farm shop because, you know, I lost my eyebrows or something like that, it might have been believable. But listen, that was not her at the farm shop. Cancer and her revealing that she has cancer doesn't explain who that was at the farm shop. So when Whoopi Goldberg is condemning conspiracy theorists, I want people to stop and say, well, there's nothing wrong with asking questions, especially when someone is lying in my face. And that's absolutely what the palace was doing. Also, aside from that, listen, if you're going to lie to someone, don't be mad when they question you. The palace and those who are condemning people for questioning what they were doing and saying and everything rolling out of that family and that institution, they are like a relationship with a toxic, abusive partner. A toxic person will lie to you repeatedly, lie by omission, lie by directly lie and make up tall tales or manipulate the truth. They will lie and give you mistruths and gaslight you all day long. And the moment you start to pick up on that and start being weary of anything they say, and you make everything they tell you pass through several forms of vetting so that you can be sure that what they're saying is true because of their past behavior, they call you paranoid. How unfair to those of us who operate in truth and don't ask for anything. Y'all, the thing about the palace is they never realized they didn't have to say anything to us about it. They could have stuck with their initial statement and moved on with their lives. They're the ones who decided to roll out several body doubles and call us crazy for being like, that ain't Kate. There's nothing wrong with us acknowledging that we were being duped, that we were being manipulated, duped, and lied to. The only thing wrong is that they did that to us. And those condemning people for questioning Kate's whereabouts and her safety are not, those people are complicit in the manipulation. They're part of the problem. Because in what world can I lie to you repeatedly and then get mad at you for judging anything I say and handling me with a, I forgot the term, but anyway, but basically handling me with skepticism. That's what would be expected, in my opinion. If you lie to me several times, I'm going to be skeptical. I'm going to be weary of you. I'm not going to trust you. And that's if I allow you to talk to me anymore at all, because I don't do liars. I don't do liars in any form, family, friends, relationships, anybody. You cannot lie to me and I'm going to continue to be in your life. That's just not going to work. And so for the royal family to roll out several really weird failed stunts, and then for them to say, but it was cancer, it doesn't cut it. You have to explain why you did what you did. Cancer doesn't explain the body double. Because again, if she was well enough to sit here and take this and do this video, then she was well, then she should have been well enough to take a picture instead of you guys creating one. And here's the thing about the Mother's Day picture. They didn't even have to take a picture of Kate. They could have literally, because she maybe she wasn't, you know, in the fit to be taking a picture. And we'll get into that in a second. Maybe the issue really was that she wasn't, you know, fit to be photographed at the moment. She's going through a lot right now. They didn't have to take a photo. They could have shown a composite of all of the other photos of her walking out of the hospital with her kids. They could have done something for Diana. They could have done something for her with retrospective pictures from all the years and their high moments and low moments, or not low moments, but like celebratory moments. They could have done anything. They didn't have to try to make a new photo. They didn't have to do that, but they did. And for some reason, they want us to feel bad that they failed. That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense to me. And it's not going to make sense to me. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Also, learning about her cancer diagnosis just makes their behavior even more bizarre, because y'all undoubtedly knew about the cancer and y'all still blamed her for the photo that she definitely did not Photoshop. She definitely didn't. And y'all still blamed her. Don't question why we were questioning what they were doing. Question why they would do that, Whoopi. Anyway, I've long thought Whoopi had a jealousy issue with Kate. I mean, not with Kate, with Megan. And that's why she has kind of been shady to Megan in the past. But her coming out the woodworks defending Kate, she has long, Whoopi has always disappointed me, because she's always felt like she had this need to be accepted by the majority. And that's disappointing for someone like her, who has scaled the highest of heights in her career, and she still needs to be accepted. So I want to move over to the next topic. In addition to all of that, people have speculated that the video is AI. At first, I was like, this is a weird looking video. I did say that. I said something feel off. It felt surreal. But I thought it was maybe the tint. And I'm going to be real. There's nothing wrong with questioning the authenticity of the video, considering they just force fed us a fake ass photo. So there's nothing wrong with questioning any other form of expression or medium that they put out there, because they've already proven themselves to be untrustworthy. But a lot of people felt like the video was AI. There were two main forms of skepticism that I saw running rampant. On one hand, you had people and tech experts at this, artificial intelligence experts, tech experts, all that, who said that the video looked like AI or a deep fake. And on the other hand, you had medical professionals questioning the statement she gave, because there were a number of errors in the verbiage that she chose to use. As far as the deep fake side, I did suspect that they would likely use some sort of artificial intelligence for the video. So when it looked weird, I didn't judge it. Here's why. Kate acknowledged that she was going through chemotherapy. However, she got her diagnosis in January and we are only in March. So that at most, she's been receiving 3 months of chemotherapy if she started at the time of the diagnosis. Chemotherapy affects people differently, and different types of chemotherapy affect people differently. But one of the main side effects of chemotherapy is hair loss, of all kinds of hair loss. And then also, it can make you lose weight and kind of hollow you out. So it can kind of make your eyes look a little bit bigger. Your cheeks can go in. You can lose fat in your cheeks. You can start to look very skeletal because you are losing weight. And maybe even your skin may sag. Like, there's a lot of side effects. And that's just a few of the visual side effects that could occur because of chemo. Chemo is very tough on the body. So when she said she had been having chemo, and then I acknowledged that the video looked strange, my thought is that they used a little bit of CGI or enhancement on the video, a little bit of artificial intelligence on the video, to maybe present her to the world and in public in the way that people remember her or recall her, and try to get her to look as close to that as possible, because she might not look like herself. But here is my other thought. At most, she's been receiving chemotherapy for 3 months. So my concern might be that it wouldn't have been enough time to pass to have those kinds of side effects. But the human body is forever a mystery. What happens for one person may not happen for everybody. And it might be affecting her to the point that they needed to change the video to enhance her so that the public were not caught off guard. I don't know. As far as the comments that she made, the medical comments that she made that doctors are doubting, that is where I'm really concerned. So we're going to get into that. But let's start with the Decider's article, decider.com, where they go into why people feel like this video was AI. It says, Kate Middleton released a heartbreaking video on Friday revealing her cancer diagnosis, but that still wasn't enough for some social media users who believe the clip was generated via artificial intelligence. In the video, Middleton sits on a bench outdoors wearing a striped sweater as she explains why she's been missing from the public eye ever since undergoing a planned abdominal surgery back in January. Quote, it has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I have had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I am so grateful, she says. Now I'm going to read the whole thing. Let's scroll down. The Princess of Wales has been the subject of conspiracy theories for the last few weeks. Despite releasing a video explanation of her absence from the public appearances, some are still convinced that she and the royal family are not offering the full truth. For instance, some users pointed out that Middleton's striped sweater is similar to a sweater she wore in a 2016 video for the mental health campaign Heads Together, though it should be noted that the sweater she's wearing in her 2024 video has longer sleeves than the original. Plus, some amateur sleuths noticed that her engagement ring briefly disappears as she moves her hand in one frame. So, about the sweater being longer, it might not have longer sleeves. It might just fit her differently. Again, you're talking about something from 2016. We are now in 2024. She might be smaller now, especially with the illness. She may be smaller now. And so the sweater looks bigger, but it could still be the same sweater. Also, I have a sapphire. So let's move it around. You can still see my sapphire in motion. Maybe that's not the case in the video, but you can still see my sapphire when I move my hands. You on Patreon will see. You can still see my sapphire ring. So that's still questioning that. This has ultimately led people to believe that a deep fake of sorts was used in her cancer announcement. This Kate Middleton video is clearly AI, but members of the public who aren't familiar with the technology will be easily fooled. The overly blurred background doesn't move, not a single breeze moving a petal, leaf, or blade of grass. It's clearly not real. While another asked, the question is, what are they hiding? Now, again, here's a photo of the disappearing ring. So here's the ring right here. And because the ring had been omitted from the photo that they released on Mother's Day, they made sure to tell her to keep it visible the whole time. But also here, the ring is gone and the ring is gone. And that is quite interesting. Now, this is from Donald Marshall, who says, two different AI detecting softwares from two separate sources. It is AI. Birdsong on a loop. Flowers and grass never move. Looks warm and green in England for this time of year. Now, I'm not in England. Can y'all let me know what the weather was like? They filmed this last Wednesday. Can y'all let me know what the weather was like? But an AI detector said that this was 96.2% AI and only 3.98% human. And then a different AI detector found that it was 98.14% AI and only 1.86% human. That's not looking so good. And since they've already manipulated a photo, why would we believe that they would draw the line at a video? If you would create a photo out of thin air, if you would manipulate a photo, you'll definitely manipulate a video. So that's why people are doubting this, and I understand it. So there are several TikToks, but let's continue. Some people did come out in Kate's defense. Somebody said it was reported that Kate filmed this on Wednesday with the BBC, likely in a studio with a green screen. Let her be. We have no empathy as a society anymore. She's a young mother and with three children who fears like all of us. Stop scrutinizing her while she heals. And then someone else added, utter drivel. This is exactly how England looked last Wednesday when it was filmed. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think of this? Do you think this video was, in fact, AI? I'm curious as to what you think. Let me know. In the description box below, I have sourced several tweets, articles, what have you, of people pointing out different things when it comes to the AI allegations. So, like I said, people were doubting the validity of the video because it looked like it was AI. I'm going to be honest. It looked off. I'll say that. I won't say that it was AI, but I will say something about it looked off to me. And that might just be a me thing, but it did not look like a person sitting there talking. That's just my opinion. But other people actually doubted some of the things that she said regarding her diagnosis. And a lot of this was coming from doctors and people in the medical field. So I'm going to hand the floor over so that we can listen to what Dr. Gupta had to say.
One thing, they use this term preventive chemotherapy in the statement, which I think is a very non-medical term. I mean, you don't give chemotherapy preventatively. She has cancer. We don't know what kind of cancer it is. And this is typically something that's referred to as adjuvant chemotherapy, meaning something alongside the surgery now that's being given. But, you know, what stands out to me is that, you know, it's very touching, but we don't know the cancer. We don't know the staging. We did not hear anything from the medical team saying, hey, look, we expect a full recovery. She obviously has said that, but it's there's a lot of questions, I think, that still remain and need to be answered, I think, in some way. You know, these are medications that are typically given in the bloodstream. Sometimes they can be given as a pill orally. If it's given in the bloodstream, then people do typically go to the hospital. Of course, we're talking about the royal family, so I think anything probably is possible for the royal family in terms of doing it more privately. But as Max said, it can be several weeks of these therapies, and they're designed, like the basic notion is we did the operation, now we find cancer, there's likely to be some cancer that is remaining in the body, let's give chemotherapy to try and target those remaining cells. That's the basic sort of idea behind chemo. But I almost can't say anything more than that because we don't know what kind of cancer, we don't know what stage, we don't know what the chemotherapy is, and we don't know even, you know, what type, meaning would she need to be even in an outpatient setting in the hospital.
So that was Dr. Gupta, but I'm also going to share the comments from a doctor, I forgot his name, let me see, Jonathan Rainier. So those of you on Patreon, you can see this, but again, those of you who are on the podcast, you can hear it.
Dr. Rainier, pardon my ignorance on this. If somebody has surgery and then the cancer is discovered after that surgery, is it because tissue from whatever the area of the surgery, in this case, the abdomen, would be taken out and tested, or would it be, is it possible that it would be cancer somewhere else in the body that would somehow show up in a blood test or something?
Well, with all respect to the, you know, to the royal family, that kind of, you know, press release doesn't make a lot of medical sense. When people undergo extensive surgery, they just don't go in for typically anymore for quote exploratory surgery. All of these operations are preceded by extensive imaging like CAT scans and MRIs. So the surgical team would have a very good understanding of what was likely to be the problem. And that would be confirmed by pathology. So a piece of the tissue removed, whatever the organ is, or the organ removed, or intestine, for instance, that goes directly to the pathology lab, often during the surgery. And sometimes whether something is cancer or not will dictate the extent of this, the actual operation. So it's very likely that the surgical team knew or had a good sense of what this was going to be prior to surgery, and that was confirmed at the time of pathologic testing during the operation. So this is something that would have at least been suspected before and confirmed during the operation.
So according to the doctor, neither doctor felt like that explanation made a lot of sense. Several terms used in that explanation didn't make any sense. And in my opinion, you would have, they being the royal family, they vet everything they say. they likely, or they should have at least, run their script past her team of doctors that she said is helping her out. Why wouldn't they run that past them to make sure she was saying exactly the right thing so that she could convey and communicate what was going on with her correctly to her public? None of this makes sense. And these are the, it's these little things that make people doubt the whole shenanigan. Like, everything sounds crazy, all of it. And again, most people, myself included, don't want to doubt cancer. Most people want to assume that if you are diagnosed with cancer and you tell me you have cancer, then you in fact do have cancer. Most of us are not going to go into it and be like, I don't know about that, because that's a very serious thing. So most people wouldn't lie about it. But we've seen these people lie about the smallest thing. They'll create media out of thin air. They'll create pictures and possibly even videos. So I don't know. So that was probably more concerning to me than the AI stuff. The fact that she got medical terms or just medical lingo wrong when it came to her own diagnosis, surgery, and treatment, that made me side-eye the whole thing. But that's just me. Now, back to the deepfake thing. People seem to have a lot to say about the whole deepfake situation and saying like, oh, well, deepfake wouldn't be that good. Deepfake wouldn't be that good. Many people clearly have not seen a real deepfake. So I want to share this little segment from CNN from 2020. It was shared on December 26th in 2020 to warn about the issues with deepfake, to warn about how real it could actually appear to be. So I'm going to share my screen again for those of you on Patreon. You'll see it. For those of you on the podcast, you likely will not. You definitely will not, but you can hear it. They'll explain it.
For nearly 70 years, I have kept a tradition of speaking to you at Christmas.
So basically, this video is showing Queen Elizabeth, the real one, and the comparison to the deepfake version. And while you can see some things are different about the deepfake version, they're not as noticeable until you look at the real version. When you see the real version, then the deepfake version looks a little strange. But this is 4 years ago. And then here you can see them side by side and they're practically identical, sans a few lighting issues and the height of her hair. But here's another example of Barack Obama being deepfaked, and that looks just like him. And again, this is 4 years ago. You can rightfully assume that in time, this technology will have gotten much, much better and we won't be able to tell the real from the fake. I don't understand what good this type of technology can actually do, but it is concerning. So if you can see it there and how well it was done with Queen Elizabeth 4 years ago, you can imagine how many advancements have been made since that time. And we likely wouldn't be able to tell Kate Middleton from a deepfake version, especially if she's set apart from the camera in the way that she was, especially if the lighting is toned down, especially if she is pushed back off the camera and in nature where things are in motion or should be in motion and there's conflicting colors. Someone else pointed out how the bench that she was sitting on had different widths on the back of the bench. It had these wooden spokes, and they were different widths on either side of her, almost like the picture or the video had been composited, and we know that is their way. So I wanted to share that the threats of AI, because people are doubting that the royal family could use AI and fool the world, but they fooled a lot of people with that picture. They fooled a lot of people with that picture. And of course, seeing that video shows how well AI can be done. So I'm in a space right now where I don't know if I believe that video was real or not. I'm in a place where, because I've been lied to so much and we've been lied to so much by that family, that I'm just kind of in a let's see what happens place. Let's observe and see what happens. Let's be patient. Well, I won't be paid. It depends on what you want to be patient about. That's up to you. But I'm just going to be patient and just watch things as they unfold and just continue to err on the side of caution on what I talk about on this channel. Now, I was going to talk about in the show with talking about Rose Hanbury serving Stephen Colbert with, like, I can't remember exactly what the legal letters were, but it was like a cease and desist or something like that to deny the allegations. I just want to make it very clear. Stephen Colbert did not bring those allegations that Rose Hanbury and Prince William were having an affair to the world. He did not. There were two groups of people in that audience. People who learned about it the first time from Stephen Colbert. And if that's the case, then they don't care enough to remember anyway, and they care even less to spread it. And people who already knew about the rumors because they follow the royals. The only people who gave a damn about that revelation are people who already knew about it from 2019. So Rose Hanbury can keep her little legal letter. It's not going to change anything. And he is a TV show host making jokes. Girl, bye. You have a lot more to be worried about. So anyway, she came in real hot. I think the reason she chose to speak out this time around versus before, considering these rumors have been around for literal years, I think the reason she chose now to speak out is because at the time these rumors were popping back up was because Kate was missing. And I think she may have anticipated a not so great ending for that and didn't want to be associated with however that story came out. So she wanted to make sure it was known that she wasn't having an affair, because I was like, why is she speaking out now? And why is she going so hard? I think it was because she was anticipating maybe not so great news about where Kate was. And to be fair, that judging from that video, we still really don't know where Kate was, but we're just gonna have to rock. And lastly, I want people to stop condemning those who are questioning anything coming out of the royal family, because they've been lying to us and they have yet to explain those wacky PR plummets, the fake person at the farm shop, the weird people in the car, the fake photo. They haven't given us a real reason why they did any of that. And cancer is not an explanation for that stuff. Charles himself has cancer. Fergie has cancer. And now Kate has cancer. And all of those situations have been handled significantly better than Kate's. Simply put. So anyway, those are my thoughts for today. I also wanted to ask you guys, we've had a lot to talk about lately. I wanted to get your opinion. Would you rather we have one long episode a week? Because that was what I previously had planned. Would you rather have one long episode every week? Or would you rather have these shorter episodes every day or most days of the week? Let me know. And, you know, I'll let you know what we decide. But I'm interested in hearing your feedback on that. So that is all I have for you today. I've already recorded this podcast once, but since it was inaudible, here we go again. I hope this one works. But thank you so much for supporting the channel. Thank you to everyone who is supporting the Patreon and the podcast. It is so great to have my podcast hosted by Podbean. They have truly just been so good. And I didn't know it could be like this. I've been dealing with a platform for 4 years that was restrictive as hell. And I just did not know that content creation could feel this good. So it's really nice. I mean, I hate the circumstances by which I had to come across my podcast. It was great to be offered a podcast, but, you know, it sucks what happened. But I'm going to tell you what, I did not know I could feel this good about what we're doing. So thank you so much to everyone who listens. Thank you to everyone who shares. My goal is to get 10,000 listens before the end of April. And we are well on our way. We're almost at 4,000 listens in less than 2 weeks. So I think we're going to make it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate all of the support. Don't forget to go to SherianSade.com and feel free to check out my Patreon.com/SherianSade. And my podcast is available everywhere. That's all I have. And I'll see you next time. Bye. Everybody, welcome back to the Sherian Sade Podcast.